Sup, freaks. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. We've got a special event for you, an online event. Bitcoin is hitting its stride with massive ETF inflows, major geopolitical changes, increasing corporate adoption, and a proposed U.S. strategic reserve. 2025 is shaping up to be a defining year. I think it's pretty safe to say that if you've been paying attention. You probably should be. Here's a real question you need to be asking yourself. Are you ready? Is your Bitcoin house in order? If you're not sure, you're in luck. On December 10th, Unchained is hosting the central session focused on helping you get positioned for what's ahead. You walk away with a clear path to your end of year moves, smarter strategies for bringing your family into Bitcoin, and the confidence of knowing you're set up for the long haul. Join Unchained General Counsel Jeff Vandrew and Adamant Capital founder Ter Demeester, both have been on this podcast many times, to understand what makes this moment different and the key moves you need to consider from year-end planning to bring your family into Bitcoin the right way. With the bull run gaining momentum, this is your window to get ready for what's ahead. Register at unchained.com/RHR. That's unchained.com/RHR. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite produces the best Bitcoin hardware in the world. If you're watching the video right now, you can see their block clock behind me. It is the only true block clock, the best block clock. They also have the Cold Card MK4 and the Cold Card Q, the most secure Bitcoin hardware devices on the market. Two secure enclaves, the ability to create private public key pairs offline in an air gap fashion. MK4 looks like a little rudimentary calculator. The Q is more advanced, looks like a BlackBerry. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard, has a QR scanner, NFC enabled. Both of them are NFC enabled. And the Q has a battery pack, so you can do everything without having to be connected to a wall. It's a beautiful thing. Go to CoinKite.com, check out all these products, pick them up, use the code RHR for 5% off at checkout. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. Stackwork is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI. If you've listened to us discuss Simple Proof and Digital Witness and how they secured the Guatemalan election on the show, Stackwork and their distributed cloud sourcing workforce helped secure that Guatemalan election. Right now, they're looking for mobile developers. So if you are looking for a job in the Bitcoin space, that is not only at the cutting edge of Bitcoin, but also AI. Hit up Stackwork, go to their careers page, find it. They're looking for Swift and Kotlin mobile devs right now. So if you're a Swift or a Kotlin developer looking for a job in the space, looking to be on the cutting edge, go hit up Stackwork. And you can go to their website at Stackwork. That's STAKWORK.AI. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Wow.
He just ninja launched. What a ninja launch.
Dude's getting cocky.
They changed the interface, so there's no confirmation thing now. I hit one button instead of two.
Dude's getting cocky with the price increase and thinks he'll just be our producer forever. Oh, Marty's dealing with family matters over there. He's on the road right now. I think he's in a hotel. You back with us, Marty?
I am in a hotel. I had to tell the cleaning ladies that I need an hour.
You just shooed the cleaning lady?
Yeah, politely.
We did a rip when I was in St. Louis where we really needed the cleaning lady. So the cleaning lady was in the room while we were live on RHR. I told her, I was like, because we had the kid with us and we had one of the dogs with us, like we really needed the cleaning lady. So I was like, you can just go while RHR is going. And then I gave her a tip afterwards.
Yeah, I forget what you said during that that incident, but I was laughing on air.
Well, like, imagine if you heard one side of I guess you heard both because I was on speakerphone, but imagine you just heard an RHR for your first time, just like live cleaning the room. It was like, it was like 5 months ago. Hopefully she took our advice.
What did we name this episode? I'm looking at it.
I named it Bitcoin 100K in sight.
It is in sight. 99,350 cuck bucks right now. Do we hit it during this rip? We need everybody listening live right now. There is a sell wall between now and $100,000. It's pretty massive, but I think the cumulative buying power of the freaks is bigger than this wall. We need to tear down this wall. Everybody gets smashed by it right now.
Marty said it, not me.
What a time to be live. I've been up since 4:30. I'm completely wired right now. I'm already 6 hours into my day over here.
What year was it when it's 2019, roof of San Francisco? I told all the freaks during our live in-person RHR to stack together. And that was like $13,000. It was the all-time high for like 3 years. For like 3 years, every reply guy on Twitter was just like, Matt, you made us all buy the top. But where we're going, you're going to buy the top the whole way up.
We were just explaining this to Paul.
Yeah, Paul, our new producer at the park, who's doing fantastic work. And this is his first bull market.
Welcome to the insanity, Paul. It's fun. This is certainly fun. let's hop into it. We got a tight hour. Let's go to the dashboard. Looking at Clark's dashboard, according to him, the price of Bitcoin right now is $99,300. One cuck buck is going to get you 1,007 sats. We're approaching three-digit sats per dollar, which is pretty insane. We're also approaching a $2 trillion market cap sitting at $1.96 trillion. As of right now, we are at block height 871,521, which means we are 1,407 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is looking like an upwards adjustment of 8.7% right now. We had a difficulty adjustment earlier this week, upwards adjustment of 0.6%. Hash rate is growing. Clark's teeny weeny mempool has 172,075 transactions in it. If we go over to mempool.space, we'll see that they have 300,644 transactions in their mempool, and fees are rising. 33 sats per V-byte for a high priority transaction, 30 sats per V-byte for a medium priority transaction. Low priority transactions will get confirmed with 24 sats per V-byte, according to mempool.space. What a week. It's been a day.
I love it. It's fucking amazing.
This is what we
look for. It's all coming together, freaks.
It really is. Just want to give a shout out to Andrew Holmes and the team at Battery. We have him on the list. I want to open with that because I've been getting flooded with calls and texts this morning on the heels of Andrew going on Squawk Box and announcing Battery Finance's emergence from quasi-stealth mode. They've officially underwritten their first loan in Philadelphia. And I just thought Andrew, in the way he presented himself, Bitcoin as this pristine collateral asset in the world of structured credit, and the potential that Bitcoin has as an asset that can really revolutionize finance and help close the pension gaps that exist, particularly here in the United States, was extremely impressive. And we both know how hard that team particularly has been working for the last 2 years to get this out the door. And so it was just really gratifying to see Andrew crush that interview this morning.
I'm super proud of you, Andrew. Andrew, by the way, is a ride or die freak. And I think he's the first ride or die freak to be on Squawk Box, the largest Bitcoin podcast in the world. So it is a real exciting moment. I was watching like a proud father or a proud son, depending on like a combination of both. We've been on this journey with Andrew for quite some time, and he's become a really close friend. And Battery is a special beast, and we're very proud at 1031 to be their largest investor. And we've been there since the very beginning. So It's pretty cool to see it all come together. And it was pretty cool to see their heads turn as they started to think through like what the implications were of adding. Effectively, what they do is they add Bitcoin to these otherwise standard commercial real estate loans. And so you have a partial collateral with Bitcoin, and then you have a traditional collateral of the actual real estate itself. And it supercharges the loan. So you have a lot of the upside benefits of Bitcoin without much of the downside if Bitcoin goes down. And they force you to hold that Bitcoin for 4 years. So the idea is you look at historic cycles, which Marty says are gone now. If you look at historic cycles, if you hold Bitcoin for 4 years, you're usually in a pretty good spot. And then meanwhile, they're able to offer market rates in terms of the actual interest rate of the loan. So the loan recipient benefits because they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're just getting really good loan terms. They don't even have to believe in Bitcoin to do the loan. And the loan grantee who's giving the loan out is getting significantly better terms because they have this beautiful benefit of the Bitcoin upside as a piece of the collateral. And it all comes together in this package. And I think what we're starting to see here is we're starting to see Bitcoin become this foundational asset that just gets intertwined into the global financial system. It's beautiful to watch.
It is really beautiful to watch. And I mean, you mentioned it, but I really want to dig in to the fact that like the way it was described turned heads. And not to denigrate anybody from the Bitcoin community that's been on CNBC to date. But I think today, the way Andrew described Bitcoin, how it fits into these credit structures, was a pivotal moment for that particular crowd. Historically, it's been Bitcoin is the scarce asset. It's going to go up. More people are going to adopt it. But I think the tangible application in the structured credit application for that particular CNBC crowd is a door opener and a turning of the page of chapters. Like, whoa, this is actually entering our world of traditional finance in a way in which hasn't existed before. And so keep an eye out on Battery moving forward. They're this BCOF strategy that they have, which is expressed through this first loan that they did in Philadelphia, my home city, which I'm very proud of as well, is only one unique strategy they have. They have many ideas about what they want to go after and how they want to incorporate Bitcoin into the traditional financial world.
It seems like the start of a new beginning here. I expect us to see Andrew a lot on CNBC going forward.
Yeah. And I mean that, like, if, as we approach 100,000, I think 100. What do you think the gravity of reaching the $100,000 per Bitcoin mark is?
I mean, dude, it seems like a big number. I think, if you go back to like my early days of Bitcoin, like my moon math number was 10K. So I remember 10K being a really huge number for a lot of us when we passed 10K. And I think 100K is clearly a bigger number. But it's like mentally, it's a mental switch for a lot of people, right? Like, oh, Bitcoin will never hit 100K. And everything after that seems more possible to a lot of Bitcoin deniers or people that just, you know, don't really understand the true gravity of Bitcoin. So I think mentally it is a big number. I think as a result, there's like a big difference between $98,000, $99,000, and $101,000. So those psychological numbers sometimes take a while to get through, even when there's momentum. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a massive turning point for Bitcoin in terms of broad-based recognition.
Yeah, I sent the note out on Oster and tweeted on X. Like, it feels like the end of the beginning is nigh. I feel like the $100,000 checkpoint is the beginning, or excuse me, the end of the beginning. And we really begin to traverse into new territories of how Bitcoin is incorporated. And it's been fun riding this wave of the beginning chapter of Bitcoin with all of you. I mean, we've been here week in and week out on Rabbit Hole Recap for 6 years. Matt and I were in Bitcoin for a few years before we started this podcast, and it is crazy to think of where we are now, having been in this for a decade. It really does feel like there's some tectonic shift happening in the way the world is viewing Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a heck of a journey, and it's just getting started. Like, I think it's pretty hard to comprehend where we are in 10 years, right? What does the next decade hold? And I would just say to everyone, particularly our new listeners out there, I think it's easy to think, you know, you're late to Bitcoin, like you missed the boat. And I just want to be clear here. Doesn't matter when you got into Bitcoin. Pretty much everyone who did thought they were late at the time they got into Bitcoin. And you just put your head down, stay on the stack sats, do some real proof of work, slowly accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible. And Bitcoin will reward you for that. So you're not late. You might not be early, but you're not late. You can never be late. And don't get discouraged.
Yeah, I gave a Bitcoin 101 presentation to a class of high school students in their investment club earlier this week. Funnily enough, my rival high school, my alma mater, has not asked me to give a Bitcoin presentation, but our rival has. I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on upstairs. If you guys,
that's pretty funny. It was the rival high school.
My rival high school.
So did you show them Solana?
No, I didn't. It was actually my old boss at the hot dog stand. He teaches at the school. Nice. He runs the investment club. So he asked me to give a Bitcoin 101 lesson. And that was one of the questions, is like, are we too late? And I think another way to frame that is, I think you said it perfectly, but like to add like analogies and context to it, like, is it too late to adopt fire? Is it too late to adopt the wheel? Is it too late to adopt the internet? No, it's always a good time to use those tools because they're fit for purpose for what they aim to do. And Bitcoin is purely a better monetary good and a better monetary technology. And so it doesn't matter when you adopt it. You're going to want to adopt it at any point because it's better money.
Also, I might disagree with Marty that like bear markets are over, but we are so fucking early in this cycle. Like, I don't think you guys appreciate how early we are in this cycle. Like Bitcoin's just getting started on this bull run. So we'll see where it ends up.
It really is. We do have a list. We got to get to it. One of which is an important announcement from Albi. They've been choreographing this and we've been mentioning it here, but we have an update. They're going to sunset their custodial wallet on January 4th, 2025. And so if you're using Albi, particularly their custodial wallet, be aware that they will be sunsetting that in a little over a month.
Yeah, this is why I put it. I'm glad that we got the shout out to Andrew because it was awesome seeing him on CNBC this morning. But I put this at the top of the list because if you have any funds in Albi, remove them ASAP. Like, you got to get them out by January. Otherwise, they turn into like fee credits.
Better connect your own node.
Yeah, they have like this new Albi Hub, which is a easy solution to use your own node, but it comes with a monthly fee, so keep that in mind. So either use that or run a node another way. But regardless, you got to move your funds out. And this is the fate for pretty much every custodial wallet, unless they add some kind of compliance regime on top of it. It seems to be the case. If any custodial wallet gets any kind of usage, we see this result.
Yeah. To be clear, I know Matt said it, but just to double down on it, Albi is not shutting down just the custodial wallet. They have Albi Hub. They have Nostr Wallet Connect, Nostr Connections. They're still chugging along and pushing out new features and new tools.
So Albi Hub has... I see someone in the Nostr chat saying Albi Hub has no fee. I thought it's like, isn't it like $20 a month or something?
If you self-host, there's no fee.
Oh, okay. But if you do like their cloud hosted one, right? There's a fee. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. But yeah, Albi is not shutting down. They're moving to a pure self-custody model, which is beautiful to see. I've been pretty impressed with their transition. I think their team is incredibly responsible and they've been building cool tech out there. And I've only heard good things about Albi Hub, but I have not used it myself.
Yeah. Next up on the list, we have Howard Lutnick selected as Trump's pick for the commerce chief. There was a lot of speculation about what position, if at all, Howard Lutnick was going to get within the Trump admin. There was rumors earlier this week and last week that there was the potential for him to be Treasury of the Secretary. But it seems like there was some backroom dealing, fighting maybe, and he has been nominated for the head of commerce, which is a good position for him, I think.
Yeah, I guess like the rumors are that like Trump didn't like that he was fighting with who was he fighting Scott, with?
Scott Bessent.
Yeah, with Bessent. And they were the two front runners, and they were like having infighting about who was going to get to be Treasury Secretary. So we still don't know who Treasury Secretary is yet. But Lutnick in commerce. And also a key thing with Lutnick is Cantor Fitzgerald is supposedly who holds Tether's U.S. Treasuries that back Tether. And he personally owns a ton of Bitcoin, he's disclosed. So he's a big friend of the coin. And as a result, people in the industry are quite excited to have him as a key figure in the administration.
Yeah, and Treasury Secretary will be a big pick. There's been a lot of speculation as to who that may be. You have Scott Bessent, I believe, is still the front runner. Dark horse, friend of the show, friend of Bitcoin Park, specifically Senator Bill Hagerty.
He's awesome. Running.
He is incredible. He gets it. He gets it. He would be an incredible pick, not only for us, but for the United States. He gets shit done.
Yeah, he might be my favorite politician. He has a strong moral code. Like, I think he actually cares about the country and operating at a higher standard. He holds himself to a higher standard. And he understands Bitcoin in a big way. His actually Bitcoin story is super fascinating. Because he was the ambassador to Japan and he discovered Bitcoin because North Korean hackers were hacking all the Japanese exchanges. And he was like, we need to get the Bitcoin. Like, we need to stop North Koreans from getting it. And then he realized they couldn't. And that's how he discovered Bitcoin for the first time. He's like, holy shit, this is incredibly powerful.
Yeah. He gets mining. He understands the importance and the sovereign nature of Bitcoin. Like, he's a dark horse right now. If he gets in to Secretary of the Treasury, if he gets into that position, that would be massively bullish for Bitcoin. And it's not because he's pumping his bags. It's because he truly understands the potential that we have here as a nation to really own, not own, but to dominate the Bitcoin industry and make sure that individual Americans are flourishing because they're able to use and adopt Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, to the moral code piece, like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't even own any Bitcoin because he feels like it's an ethics breach. But he's definitely a Bitcoiner regardless, and he comes to the park all the time. Very fortunate to have him as a senator in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I see in the live chat, I didn't even really, like, you can just one click run Albi Hub in Start9 or Umbral. That's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Just to bring it back.
The next thing on the list, MicroStrategy is out there buying a butt ton of Bitcoin. I mean, you have the $3 billion offering, 0% convertible note, but I think he announced another one this week too. I think there's two notes between this week's
there's
episode.
A second one?
I thought there was a $6 billion and then a $3 billion.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really. It seemed incredibly relevant because I think this was oversubscribed, right? Like, it was supposed to be less, and people are just aping in. They're just aping in at 0%.
That's the most important detail of this. Not maybe not the total dollar amount, which is pretty large at $3 billion, but the fact that all these credit funds are aping into these convertible notes at 0% interest rates. Like, they're not getting paid any interest on the capital they're putting into this debt instrument because they're pretty confident that if the price of Bitcoin goes up, those convertible notes are going to convert to equity, and they don't care about the interest payment on that debt. They believe that they're going to make a lot of money by converting that debt to equity, being able to monetize that.
Yeah, I mean, the key here is that convert piece, right? So it's my understanding is as long as MicroStrategy doesn't go insolvent, they basically get Bitcoin upside exposure in the form of MicroStrategy shares, but they don't have the downside risk. So they don't have to actually really believe in Bitcoin. Like worst case scenario, as long as MicroStrategy is still solvent, they just get their money back. But in a best case scenario and Bitcoin rips, then they get the Bitcoin upside. So you can see how it's appealing, particularly to like large institutional players that can't get exposure to spot Bitcoin. But they can do these debt offerings.
Yeah. And it's an important, the convertible nature of these debt offerings is very important because there's a lot of people out there who are running with the assumption that MicroStrategy is accumulating billions and billions of dollars worth of debt, which they are, but since it's converting to equity, once the stock price reaches a certain level, that debt is eliminated. And now they just issue more shares to those debt holders. And so like there's many people out there who think MicroStrategy has tens of billions of dollars worth of debt. I believe right now with that $3 billion, it's around probably like $9 billion worth of debt that they have in total. But as the stock price goes up, all that debt converts to equity and extinguishes the debt within those notes. So it's pretty novel use case.
I mean, and it's at 0%. The during his earnings call, he said that he was going to do $21 billion worth of debt to buy Bitcoin. At this pace, I mean, I think he's going to blow through that 21 number. Like that was like what, a month ago?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's blown through it by the end of the year.
Is he at like 10 already? Yeah, it's fucking insane. And I see some people speculating, can he go negative? I don't really understand how this stuff works. I'm just a humble stacker. I would repeat to people that self-custody Bitcoin is a beautiful thing. It carries no counterparty risk. Nothing can replace that to me. Like Bitcoin is my safe haven. You have to hold it securely. Hold it yourself. Stay humble and stack sats. Obviously, MicroStrategy has two layers of counterparty risk. You have MicroStrategy as a counterparty, and then you also have their custodians as a counterparty. But yeah, my like left side curve, can you go negative here? Is this if you can go zero, can you go negative?
I mean, technically, I mean, yeah, you can issue a negative yielding convertible note, and that would mean that the buyers of that note are essentially paying interest to MicroStrategy instead of the reverse, just to get access to the note.
Knowing Saylor, he might do it just to see if he can get away with it.
He can't keep getting away with this. FTB's in the YouTube comments clarifying he did a $5 billion at the market offering. So he issued
just sold new shares.
Yeah, just issued new shares with no debt attached to it, $5 billion worth.
So that's what he said originally, right? He said, I'm going to do 21 in debt and 21 of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's crazy that this is what brought in the GameStop people, like Wall Street Bets and stuff. Like I've been waiting for them to like get into Bitcoin in a big way. And of course, getting into Bitcoin in the same way that they can turn off the fucking buy button on them. Like when does Robinhood turn off the buy button on MicroStrategy?
I don't know.
I think people still don't appreciate how ridiculous that was, that Robinhood literally turned off the fucking buy button on GameStop when the short sellers were getting run.
Yeah, Citadel gives them a call, says, hey, turn it off. You're about to drive us insolvent. I don't know, but it seems like people are hopping on the train. I don't know if you have it on the list, but the German insurance company, Allianz, their public filings came out this morning, and I believe they were 24% of the buyer of one of these convertible notes. They took up 24% of one of those deals. So you have, and I believe Rob Hamilton sent out a tweet this morning basically highlighting that there are some rules and regulations about the ability for insurance companies, particularly to get direct exposure to spot Bitcoin. And I believe he said they're probably one of the industries that's the least exposed, or not exposed, but allocated to Bitcoin when they probably should be. And so the fact that they went out and participated. FTB is confirming 24% of the $3 billion convertible note offering they took up. So this is their proxy way to get Bitcoin exposure as an insurance company.
I like that. The Nostr live chat is kind of upset with you for reading the YouTube chat.
Well, I'm on Ecamm and it's just too easy to look at.
I'm looking at the Nostr live chat where our ride or dies dwell. And there's a fucking hilarious comment from Pseudo Carlos that he bets that the YouTubers are more financially literate than the Nostr live stream chat. And he might be right. The YouTubers understand like the financial stuff better. And then the Nostr chat is the ride or dies. But I would love to see like a contest of who's outperforming who. Like, I bet you the Nostr live chat folks are outperforming the YouTube live chat folks over the last 10 years. Not to start a war between our two sets of listeners. We appreciate you all. And huge shout out to the Zapstream folks, our Nostr live chat ride or dies. We have Bitcoin in Space 2 has zapped 21,000 sats. MAV21 has zapped 21,000 sats. Those are our two largest zappers for the day. Appreciate the support.
Yeah, I forget. For some reason in Firefox, zap.stream doesn't work for me. So I have to open up Chrome.
Oh yeah, is Marty zapped today? Logan just pulled it up. I didn't ask.
That's not true. I zapped Million this morning. That was yesterday. I'm sorry. It's early here. I'm on the West Coast.
That was yesterday. Caught him, freaks. What's next on the list?
Next on the list, we've got SEC Chair Gary Gensler announces resignation effective January 20th. Gary Gensler's version of "You can't fire me, I quit."
But Trump can't actually fire him. Like, I'm pretty sure Trump doesn't have the ability to fire him on day one.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure.
But I guess it doesn't really matter. If Trump says he's going to fire you day one, you just resign before that.
Yeah.
Same result.
I mean, we discussed this when there was speculation of it last week. I mean, hasn't really affected Bitcoin too much outside of Operation Choke Point 2.0, which was a pretty massive deal and unconstitutional, I would argue, and not good for
the SEC.
Yes, they had a part in it. Yeah, like they sued Silvergate.
Pablo says you zap so little that you remember all the recipients of your zaps.
All right, Pablo.
I think we'll have a much more business-friendly, Bitcoin-friendly SEC chair, so that's good to see. But this wasn't like the top of my list of, you know, I'm not getting like too excited about it. It's a win. But it's more of a win for the massive shitcoin casinos that he was serving Wells notices to, and shitcoin promoters that have their own centralized tokens, and, you know, the billions of dollars of traditional VC that relies on dumping tokens on retail, when they know it's not going to have any long-term value. So this is one of those things that always, I tend to be of the belief that, you know, just let free markets work. And when you have freedom, some people are going to get burnt. But the general benefit is greater human flourishing. But also, like, it sucks to see scammers just get away with shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Scammers are very happy right now.
Yeah.
But I will say the air is being sucked out of the crypto room right now, particularly with MicroStrategy. I think announcements like the one Andrew made earlier today. I don't know. I've already made one bold proclamation about Super Cycle and Cycles Ending. I won't say that crypto is officially dead, but I do think there's certainly more headwinds this time around this cycle for that part of the industry, which, I don't believe should, not that it shouldn't exist, but I think it's all a scam.
There's a divergence, right? There's a palpable divergence. It's for most participants, it's Bitcoin and there's everything else. Now, that doesn't mean that in the short term, random tokens will, you know, pump and dump or whatever. That'll probably happen forever. But just in the general psyche of most participants is you have Bitcoin and then you have shitcoins.
Yeah. It's Bitcoin and shitcoin.
And that feels fundamentally different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a good segue into the next topic, which is Jack Mallers appearance on Bloomberg, I believe, was it? Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah,
in person.
And this is a signal, like, validating what we're just talking about right now. It's our thesis at 1031 is that the businesses and individuals that focus on Bitcoin are going to succeed the most in the long run. And Jack was on Bloomberg, number one, giving a good pitch for Bitcoin and why America should embrace it. And number two, giving us an update on Strike's business, which exploded the day after the election.
Yeah, so Strike's business literally doubled the day after the election. And 90%, over 90% of Bitcoin was withdrawn to self-custody too, which is two crazy stats that you absolutely love to see. I mean, Strike is our single largest investment at 1031. We've been in the trenches with them since the beginning. I mean, Jack launched Strike in your studio apartment in the early days of Rabbit Hole Recap and TFTC. So it's been a heck of a journey. I thought this was one of his best. He's had plenty of practice on mainstream financial news, but I think this was one of his best, and it's cool to see it all come together. And I would just say, like, if you saw the inner workings of Strike and the day to day at Strike, you'd be posting in all caps as well.
They're crushing it. Shout out to you, Jack. Everybody at Strike. Feels good. Enjoy these good moments. Beginning of the bull. Things are working. We've got good people putting good education out there on mainstream media. Prices going up, approaching 100K. Enjoy the wins while they're happening. We're winning right now. This is what winning looks like. I mean,
still a lot of work to do.
Immense amount of work to be done.
Otherwise, RHR wouldn't exist.
Yeah. Whether it's Bitcoin or Nostr, a ton of work to be done. Another disclaimer, another 1031 portfolio company, Primal, launched version 2.0 of their app yesterday, and it's a massive upgrade. And this is another company we've been in the trenches with as they've been building out their roadmap and their product. And this is a massive upgrade for Nostr, or for Primal specifically. But yeah, I think everybody using Nostr is going to love this.
I think this is, yeah, not just massive for Primal, it's massive for Nostr as a whole. And it really brings just a first-class user experience. And like the way I view it right now is, you know, Primal is this top of funnel that will bring a lot of new users into the Nostr ecosystem. And then there's the beauty of it, because it's this open interoperable protocol, just like Bitcoin is for money, Nostr is for speech and identity. Once they come in top of funnel, the beauty is they can go and use, you know, the many Nostr apps that are out there. And some Nostr apps are more suited for power users. Some are trying to, you know, have a more easy to use UX and more polished UX for newcomers. And I think Primal tries to solve that latter use case where, you know, a lot of people will see the benefits of Nostr if it's successful, from the fact that it doesn't require trust, that it doesn't require permission, that everything is verifiable by default. So you know that something isn't a deep fake, that you can actually verify the post is real and was sent by who you think it was sent to. And just the greater benefits of the open network, the censorship resistance, the ability to broadcast out to the world without relying on anybody. But a lot of people don't realize that value, right? And how do they actually come into the ecosystem in the beginning? I think they come into the ecosystem in the beginning just because the app is just a better app. It's just a better experience, right? A better version of Substack, better version of X, a better version of Instagram, a better version of Venmo. Like this is people won't come in necessarily for the freedom. They'll get the freedom as a side effect. So I'm incredibly proud of Million and his team. They've been absolutely crushing it. They've been just hard at work for 3+ months now to release this thing. It's pretty amazing to watch it all come together. And I will have them on Citadel Dispatch on Tuesday. I think at 1700 UTC, but I will announce that on Noster.
Hell yeah. I mean, choose your own algo, choose your own feed. I think that's going to be massive. And honestly, like as a daily Bitcoin wallet, it's just very, very efficient, very easy, great UX.
So Svenska 808 is asking in the comments, since Odell has been raging about this blue check nonsense on X, what is this golden ringy thing on his Noster that I can see on Primal? Does he like it? So this version of Primal does add premium features. And if you've been listening to the show, I'm actually all for premium features. Like I think the idea that people pay for X is a great idea. Customers should be customers. They shouldn't be the product, right? They shouldn't be data slaves that are just milked of their data, and all the data is sold to advertising partners. Like that is the corporate surveillance model. My issue with the blue check has always been that it's a push to do full identity verification on users. And with this premium, with Primal, it doesn't have that. It is, you just pay with sats. It doesn't require identity verification. Now to use the wallet, it requires identity verification. Because it's a compliant wallet, but you don't have to use that wallet. You know, when I use Noster, I use npub.cash. You can use any Lightning-enabled wallet in order to receive and send Bitcoin on the Noster network. So that's the distinction. And so with Primal Premium, you get a bunch of benefits, including media uploads, including a Primal name, to make it easier to find you on Noster. And we have an additional tier called Legend Status. If you give $1,000 or more worth of Bitcoin, you can get the nice little profile customizations and whatnot. And then you don't have to pay a month. It's a lifetime membership. It's you don't pay per month. You don't pay per year. You're just a Primal legend for life.
Do you want to be a legend? I certainly do. Shout out to BTC Pins calling out Snotty Ben. I've learned from the first Snotty Ben instance to get off camera before I sneeze. Luckily, nothing came out this time. Shout out to my team at Primal. You guys are crushing it.
Absolutely crushing it. Huge day. If you haven't used Noster in a while, or if you've never used Noster, install the new Primal. Give it a spin. Send out a couple notes. Scroll the feeds. You can choose different feeds. You can make your own algorithm. The search feature is better than X now, which was one of the single best parts of Twitter and X for me, was the very strong search capability. So that we bring a first-class search experience now. And like I said earlier, it has a built-in Substack-ish section for like long form. You can highlight directly from there and then share out the highlights. And all of that's interoperable with the global Noster network. So if you're using Primal or using something else, you can still interact with it.
Yeah. The next thing on the list is a doubling down on Noster by OpenSats. You co-wrote a blog post on OpenSats with GG. What's in it?
Yeah, I mean, OpenSats right now, you know, we're funding... So OpenSats is a 501c3 charity. If for some reason you listen to the show and have no idea what OpenSats is. And we provide 100% pass-through donations to Freedom Tech developers, mostly Bitcoin developers, but also a subset in Noster. And, you know, I think that in terms of free speech, Elon has done some great work over at X, but ultimately it doesn't solve the core of the problem. I mean, I think you can just objectively say that out of all the big tech CEOs that control these social platforms, the censorship on X is by far the least. But at the end of the day, it's still centrally controlled, has central points of failure, and one man just shouldn't have all that power. So I think now more than ever, it's important that we build out these alternative tools, these open protocols that are not controlled by anyone by default. And as a result, OpenSats is providing quite frankly, just a shit ton of support to open source developers working on Noster. No strings attached. We're funding probably like 50 different apps on Noster that are just free to use for the public. And we're providing, I don't know how many, a ton of long-term support grants for key Noster developers. So I think it's very much like Bitcoin, you know, is in this idea that the open source developer community is the foundational bedrock that the whole protocol relies on. And we will see for-profit companies like Primal or like a company like Strike exist within these open protocols. But at the core, we need to always support the open source contributors that make these movements possible. It also is important to note that Primal is a completely false project. So anyone can fork it if they want to, which I think 1031 is quite unique in that respect, that we do support founders who choose to open source. And a lot of times we encourage them to open source. I mean, at the end of the day, it's their project. They can choose what they want to do. We don't pretend to control them, but we proudly support open source companies on the 1031 side. But yeah, OpenSats, you know, we're just trying to scale it out, be as efficient as possible. And we got a little bit slow on updates. So we just wanted to make sure everyone knew that we're still shipping many, many grants out to Noster contributors.
You guys are crushing it, man. Thank you for all that you do to support with the Bitcoin and Noster ecosystems. Next up on the list, we have the Human Rights Foundation story of the week from the Financial Freedom Report. And it's coming from Pakistan. Regulated VPNs deepen financial and digital repression. Pakistan's military regime escalated internet censorship by mandating that all virtual private networks, or VPNs as they're more popularly known, be registered with the state. It even requires users to submit personal details such as national identity cards and IP addresses. This crackdown erodes the privacy and freedoms VPNs offer, leaving citizens increasingly vulnerable to surveillance and control and stifling the flow of information in a country where internet disruptions and bans on platforms like X are commonplace. Restricted VPN access could limit access to financial freedom tools like Bitcoin, which to some degree rely on access to on and off ramps like digital asset exchanges. The regime may further isolate Pakistanis from decentralized financial systems by tightening its grip on digital platforms and consolidating its control over information and financial activity. To read more stories like this on a week-in, week-out basis, make sure you go and sign up for the Financial Freedom Report newsletter at financialfreedomreport.org.
Yeah, I mean, I think this story just highlights that it's important to always have a global perspective with these things. I'm grateful to be an American. I think we're incredibly lucky to have been able to grow up in this country. I wouldn't want to raise my kids in any other place and build my family anywhere else. But there's a lot of people that are in worse situations in terms of the ability to access basic things that we think are just basic tools that we have access to. And this is where Freedom Tech really starts to make massive change for the world in places where people really, really have the need. And something as basic as a VPN, right? Or as basic as access to X, where you just assume you can always access Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, is necessary for people to uplift themselves. So we need protocols like Bitcoin and Noster. I also, Marty, I realized that we're just shipping so hard at OpenSats that I forgot to list that we also announced our next wave of education grants. We're trying to support more and more open source education initiatives around the world. So we're very excited about that. And also, since it's November and Bitcoin is nearly at 100K, so there's a lot of you that are probably sitting on gains selling Bitcoin for diapers or other life expenses, you can get a tax deduction by supporting OpenSats. So if you just go to opensats.org, you can support with dollars or Bitcoin. You can do it anonymously with Bitcoin, or you can get a tax deduction and we'll give you a tax receipt. All support is appreciated. We'll put it to good work.
Think about it, freaks. Think about it. And before we get the shout outs from last week's episode, I do want to mention Unchained, another one of our sponsors. They're having, so if you're new to Bitcoin, and we've got a lot of people in the live stream right now. If you're coming to this to learn about Bitcoin, what's going on, and you're trying to get your bearings about Bitcoin approaching $100,000. Turdemeester and Jeff Vandrew are going to hold a webinar on December 10th with Unchained. So you can go to unchained.com/RHR and sign up for that if you want to get a education from one of the best in the world, Turdemeester, on how to prepare for a life where Bitcoin is the standard. Let's go check that out.
Awesome.
Fountain bugging out for me right now. Let me try and pull it up on
You want me to pull it up?
You can I'm just gonna fountain.com/charts.
Wait.
We should be at the top of the charts as you guys support the show. Incredibly well.
Thank you, freaks, for all your support. It keeps me coming back week after week.
Top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 331, the greatest.
Marty? Hello?
We lost Marty while he was reading it. Okay.
Those were too powerful.
Should I read it? Greatest Bitcoin bull run of all time. We have Reed with 21,000 sats saying, Western Mass Bitcoin meetup is this weekend. Come join us on Sunday at 6 p.m. at Peppa's Pizza in East Longmeadow, just south of Springfield. Grab a slice and join our Socratic-style Bitcoin news and Bitcoin education meetup. Cheers. We have 8 Mithrandir, Ride or Die Freak, with 17,777 sats. Any comment on NVK and Bitcoin clock, BTC, BT clock? I mean, I have no comment on this time. I mean, I think that I think people just love drama. I think they love to eat into drama. And I think, you know, trademarks are always a messy beast, and you have to enforce them in order to keep them. I will say that despite the many conspiracies of 1031 being the largest and exclusive investor in CoinKite, you do not appreciate MBK if you think we can tell him how to run his business. And I would last but not least say that while it was clearly an open source project and anyone can build it themselves, it also very much looked like a knockoff to me that was being sold to the public. So thank you, 8 Mithrandir, for your constant support of the show. I was trying to avoid that drama. But if you support the show, we have to Ron Burgundy style read it. And hence I read it. It looks like Reed was also the number 3 supporter with 14,141 sats. We have Marius with 10,000 sats saying, thanks for the Ride or Die pod. And then we have user 280-66262, 10,000 sats saying, for what it's worth, I started learning about Bitcoin from Gensler's MIT courses online, pre-SEC chair. Thank you, freaks, for supporting us. And thank you for Marty for coming back to the show. It's good to
have
you.
Where did I drop out? I was on Fountain reading.
You were about to read and you just cut. You didn't read anything.
Well, I read 8 Mithrandir's and went on like a long rant and then like came back to Ekim.
Oh, you answered apes?
Yeah, to see you respond. And you were midway through your response. I didn't know what was going on.
What's your response?
I think you handled it well. I think it's very clear that it's a knockoff. And I mean, that's, yeah, very similar thoughts to what you have.
I mean, it sucks to see someone's GitHub repo just get taken down. But I would say that's an important lesson on why we need to have censorship-resistant GitHub alternatives like NGit, which is a Nostr-based one that OpenSats is supporting.
NGit, go check it out. Thank you guys for the boost. Thank you for everybody in the Zap.stream live chat for zapping us as we record. We've got a couple or a few or more than a few. 21,000 Zap boost. Shout out to all of you, Mav. Who else is in there? Bitcoin in Space 2.
I already shouted them out.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, we appreciate all your support. Especially the ride or die freaks that join us in the live chat. It's just great to have you guys as being part of the show. And Bitmain can go fuck themselves now that I'm reading the live chat.
What are they saying?
In before Odell backs Bitmain in their inevitable lawsuit against BitAxe because it's a knockoff, got to enforce that trademark. I think a lot of you guys just love drama.
That's true.
And fuck you all for trying to bring me into the drama. I'm opting out of this one. I've done enough.
Yeah.
I literally zero to do with either side of this. So I'm just going to keep supporting open source projects and supporting Bitcoin and Nostr businesses to the best of my ability, and try and always do right by you guys.
Same. You guys already know I hate the drama and I very seldomly comment on it. So we'll not be commenting on it here. Next up, software updates. My wife is back from her massage, so we have to go on a stroll soon. BitKey
nice.
Added inheritance feature to their suite. This is pretty cool to see.
I think this is absolutely huge. I think inheritance is a hard to solve problem in the self-custody world. And this is not out yet. This is supposed to come out in January. So we don't have exact specifics. We just have this blog post, but it seems like they're handling it in a very clean way with smart trade-offs. And at the same time, they recently announced that BitKey is now available at Best Buy and Amazon to make it easier to get them. I think I said this last week, but I think like BitKey couldn't have come at a better moment in terms of where Bitcoin is right now. And anyone out there that thinks like self-custody is too difficult, is currently keeping their Bitcoin on an exchange or in a custodial wallet, just go buy a BitKey. Go buy a BitKey. Go through the flow on your phone. You don't have to like watch a 2-hour video on how to do it. It's incredibly easy to use. You have to almost go out of your way to lose your money, and then you still probably won't lose your money. And it's the first, you know, hardware-based self-custody solution, or maybe the first real self-custody solution where I feel like I can just give it to someone and let them go through it. And it doesn't matter what their technical level is. It doesn't matter what their Bitcoin level is. They can be relatively secure with their Bitcoin. So I think I'll probably be giving a bunch of them for Christmas this year, because it's just a really, really good starting point on your Bitcoin journey. So there you go.
Yeah. We don't have an RHR promo code, but if you want to use the code TFTC20, you'll get 20% off. And I believe they're having a big Black Friday sale next week.
They did say, you know, historically, it's just strictly better from a trust perspective to order directly from the manufacturer. There have been situations where like fake treasures or treasures or ledgers that have like seeds preloaded on them get sent to users, and then their funds are taken. You have this additional man in the middle risk. With BitKey, that's a little bit less so. If you make sure you're actually using their correct app when you're initializing it, and so I think the risk vector there for their trade-off model is significantly less than traditional hardware wallets. But it's a trade-off nonetheless. Like you have to at least be aware of additional man-in-the-middle risk. So like when you receive the package, like make sure like it hasn't been obviously tampered with. I don't think Best Buy is man-in-the-middling hardware wallets. I guess a rogue employee could be doing it though, right? So there is some concern there. But just thinking about how you go through the BitKey flow, that attack vector is probably not too high on the list. But it is definitely something to be aware of, and it's always better to get directly from manufacturer.
Yeah, because with that setup, they could only really attack the hardware device. Like their app would create part of the key.
The app has one key and the server has one key. And presumably, like the app is actually verifying that it's a legit piece of hardware that hasn't been tampered with. And I'm pretty sure that once you set up the BitKey, you can't like change, like it's just like one user. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great design trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, it makes other design trade-offs, right? Where you have worse privacy than hardware wallets that you can use with your own node. You don't have a screen on it, so you have more trust in the app because you're not able to verify receive addresses directly on the device. But it's a very deliberate trade-off model that they made, and it provides a very deliberate use case, which is if you are a new user, if you are technically overwhelmed coming into Bitcoin, it is just strictly better than having some custodian hold your Bitcoin. And it appears now that, you know, Bitcoin Twitter is mostly dead, and now it's just MicroStrategy Twitter. You know, hold MicroStrategy stock or hold Bitcoin in your BitKey. I would take hold Bitcoin in BitKey any day of the fucking week.
Yeah, agreed. Software update section of the show. We've got Trezor Suite app version 24.11.2, which has been released. Looking like a lot of shitcoin updates. You can opt into auto updates to automatically download and install the latest updates with a one-click restart to apply.
Sure, I put this as a friendly gesture because I know a lot of people use Trezor, but I just don't even see, unless it's to hold shitcoins, like then it makes sense to Trezor or a Ledger. But like to me, it's like cold card. If you're more advanced and you're holding more money, and then BitKey. It's like those are your two. That's my two recommendations, and you know, let the conspiracies run wild.
Run freaks. OLAS version 1.3, an Instagram like Noster client for iOS and Android, has been released using OLAS.
Yeah, Pablo's just crushing it. This is extremely beta, but very early. But yeah, it's the goal is to bring an Instagram like experience to Noster. Which we absolutely need. I mean, I, you know, haven't used Instagram in over a decade, but billions of people do. So I think media first Noster experiences, whether it's Instagram like or TikTok like with videos, should be out there, and they should be supported in terms of having them exist. Like, I'm not going to be using it, but cool to see. Great job, Pablo.
Shout out to you, Pablo. NDK Mobile has been released. It's Noster Development Kit. another Pablo. The new library that he's been building as a byproduct in the past couple of months.
Do you see Pablo in the live chat?
What's he saying? Because
it's not that beta, Matt. Fuck. Rude. it's pretty beta. Like, I mean, I think there's like a lot of bugs still in it, bro. You got to clean it up. But the best way you can help Pablo if you want to see an Instagram-like experience is to use the app and then just tag him on Noster with any bugs you find. And if you tag me for the next 24 hours, I'll just repost those to remind Pablo that the bugs exist.
Being made aware that we hit a new all-time high right now, 99,565. approaching 100,000. We may have to stay on until we hit 100K. I'm sorry, baby.
To be fair to Pablo, he's saying it got a lot better in the last 2 hours. The space moves fast.
It does move fast.
I kind of interrupted you. Pablo also released NDK Mobile, which is a mobile-first Nostr development kit. So the guy's a legend among men, and he's a good friend. And I'm just grateful to have him laser-focused on Nostr. It makes a big difference. So thank you, Pablo. It's wonderful to have you as part of this movement.
Love you, Pablo. Last but not least, certainly not least, not a software update, just a terrible update. The U.S. purchased Pegasus software for Colombia in an $11 million deal. You can see this on one of the official government websites of Colombia. I will translate so I can actually read. My Spanish is not. Ambassador Daniel Garcia Peña met with senior White House officials to address the acquisition and uses of Pegasus software in Colombia. And for those who are unaware, we've reported on Pegasus many times in the past. It's a software that essentially allows the government to pwn your phone and all of your devices. Not great.
Yeah, I mean, this.
Or the US.
There's so many elements here, right? Like, first of all, this, what we've started to see is this new trend where small countries that usually don't have the capability to spy on their citizens and control them digitally, just buy the software from private companies, right? So capabilities that were usually reserved to like the NSAs of the world and like the China's Secret Service and the Russians and the Israelis are now available to like any dictatorship in the world. Any government in the world can just go out and buy them. And then on top of it, US taxpayer money just paid for Colombia's subscription. So it's, you know, two edges of a horribly sharp sword. Kind of fucking sucks to see. So that's why I threw that in there.
Yeah. No, thank you for throwing it in there. As we get caught up in the excitement of the bull market and new all-time highs every day, it's important that we do not forget to focus on the freedom aspect of the show and highlight these stories as they materialize. Because it's easy to get swept up in the excitement, but there's still a lot of terrible shit going on in the world, particularly at the level of government spying on their citizens. So Colombia has taken a step towards a more dystopian future. Logan, just pull up Bitbo. We're going to hang out for 10 more minutes. We need you guys to...
Your poor wife. What are the chances that we actually pass 100? I don't know.
Seems to be ripping a little bit right now, dude.
So what do you want to talk about while we wait?
How high do you think we go?
Did you see that... Trump is urging the Press Act to be denied. Was this on your radar?
No, what's that?
The Press Act, I think it was passed by the House and needs to be confirmed by the Senate. But it protects confidential sources for journalists, which seems important. And hate to see anyone be against that. I mean, I think that's like a key tenet of a free and well-functioning society. But that's why Nostr is so important, because you can basically have distributed, unstoppable WikiLeaks without any central points of failure, which I think is massively underrated. Everyone talks about it as like an Instagram competitor or a TikTok competitor. But yeah, yeah. That could be incredibly powerful.
Yeah, that's not great. There's something else I wanted to bring up. I just forgot about it.
Well, freaks in the live chat, what do you want us to talk about? You have any questions for us? I've loved Jack Mallers the last 2 weeks. Is just, it's like him in a camera in a live chat. It's like answering people's questions. You got anything for us?
Will you Marty, purchase?
Yeah, go on.
Will you, are we going to stack the top when it hits 100K?
Every price was once an all-time high, if you understand this. I think I've pretty much stacked every top that has existed since I've gotten into Bitcoin. And I'm going to keep doing it. Just stay humble and stack sets about it.
Yeah. The Brian Norgaard had a good tweet yesterday. Pretty meta, but it was that like most people don't realize it, but Bitcoin's never been cheaper than it is today, which sounds crazy as we're sitting at all-time highs. But what he was really getting at there is that from a risk reward perspective, whether that be career risk at the institutional level, risk as an individual using it as a store of value, Bitcoin this year has been significantly de-risked, and the risk reward of adopting Bitcoin now at all-time highs is way lower than it has been historically. It's never been cheaper to get into Bitcoin. It's always great. A good time to adopt the better technology freaks.
Yeah, I mean, the risk reward profile probably, yeah, I agree, has never been better. I agree with that. Marty, do you still think you still think Supercycle? A freak asked. You're still on that train? Oh, what about your great new hit single, This Time is Different, by the Boys of the Bugle?
The Boys of the Bugle put out some bangers. Yeah, I think that could be the song of the cycle, and I'm very, very proud to have a small part in it. You should be too. I think they called you a gay bear.
You don't think it. You know they called me a gay bear, and I'm aware of this transgression against my character, and I will hold it against you guys for a while.
Yeah. I got to jump. I feel like we're actually preventing the all-time high. So we're going to end the stream so that we can go over 100,000. And you guys all celebrate individually. Love you all. Thank you for joining us on a Friday, working with my schedule. We'll be back next week. What are we going to do next week? Thanksgiving? Next Friday? Next Wednesday? What are we thinking?
Hug your wife. Hug your family. Wait. Yeah. We can do Wednesday. What is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving? Friday?
Yeah, let's do
Black Friday. Hug your wife, hug your family. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks.